You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
Hello, trade pros, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind Over Markets podcast. We're super excited to bring this week's show to you guys. We've got a special student interview with one of our trade pro success stories, Mr. Zalman Sulaymanov. We originally ran into Sal via message in our chat room. He posted some great numbers and we've got to talking, and we're really, really excited to bring today's episode to you guys. Stay tuned. All right, let's welcome Sal to the show today. Welcome, Sal.
Hey, well, thank you guys. I appreciate you having me on. Just to introduce myself, I guess most of you know me as Zalman Sulaymanov, aka Sal, with the Trade Pro community. Thank you for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it. Excited. I'm honored to be, asked to be on this podcast. So thank you.
Of course. Huge privilege.
Thank you.
We're honestly really excited to have you here. And for the audience that might not be familiar with who Sal is, you know, he's one of the members of the Trade Pro community. And he's recently, you know, come to light to us. And that's why we've got him on here, because he's got a really interesting story. And he's also somebody that's kind of gone through the gutter, if you will, as it relates to his trading journey and kind of where he's at now. So really, really excited to have you on board here, Sal. And let's really jump into this episode here. I kind of want to get the audience to get an idea of life before trading for you, because, you know, we had our pre-interview call and, you know, trading isn't where you started off as. You know, you've had a little bit of an entrepreneurial upbringing, if you will. So I'm really happy to get this thing started with giving you guys a little bit of insight on life before trading for Sal. So Sal, the baton's yours.
Trading is definitely, left field for me. I came from not a financial background whatsoever, mainly dealing with sort of blue collar, dirty type of businesses, including, you know, my younger days as a medic for the fire department here in New York, in the city, for about 10 years or so. After that, you know, I really wanted to sort of branch out and, start my own business. Of course, you know, the American dream, you know, who wants to work for someone, you know, their entire life? You want to, you know, grow and succeed and, you know, hopefully make a little bit of money in the process. I got into a few other businesses afterwards, recycling, crude oil, you know, and a few other things. And, they were pretty good. I have to say I was very successful. I did it for quite a few years, a lot of different types of investments as well throughout sort of my career. Nothing really to do with trading or any type of market investing, to be quite frank. It was mainly just hard assets, real estate, stuff like that. So, things came down to a point a few years ago with, deteriorating market conditions and oil prices coming down and what have you. And it did put a strain on my business. I was pot committed to one particular industry, which was mainly the crude oil industry. And when it started to suffer, everything just sort of, you know, sank down with it. And, at that point, I'm 40 years old. And, I was planning on a early retirement. And, it comes as a shock all of a sudden that, look, you know, your retirement probably isn't going to come anytime soon. So, 40 years old and three kids, married, mortgage and car payments and bills and insanity coming at you from every single corner, starts to really eat at you, and you're scrambling to figure out what's your next move. And, but I did make a decent amount of money. and my lifestyle was sort of based around my income. When that income goes away, you scramble. I mean, what are you going to do? What can you do, you know, at 40 years old with no education or anything to supplement or replace the income that you've come accustomed to? And listen, accustomed is one thing. I mean, look, you can break habits, right? You can drive a worse car or, you know, buy a smaller house. But, you know, certain things you can't, you know, just get rid of. So that's really where my trading career kind of started. I was looking for something to do, something that can potentially generate a decent amount of cash and with no ceiling. You get involved in certain types of businesses and, you know, you build them up and you spend years and eventually you get to a point where it just plateaus and you're done. There's really no more upside. Trading, on the other hand, I felt, I can get into, number one, startup costs were obviously pretty cheap, you know, in comparison to starting a whole new business or a new company and investing in, you know, the years that takes. I mean, look, you get involved in a trading course, you get a computer, or, you know, open up an account with a couple of grand and, you know, you're off to the races. So that's sort of what started off my trading career. It was really, a set of unfortunate, market conditions and just, you know, life in general, man, you know, get, you know, throws you a couple of curveballs and you don't expect them. And, you know, it is what it is. But, this was definitely something that really stemmed from that. Look, I need something that can really replace, the money that I'm accustomed to and the money that, I have to pay for my kids' schools. I have to pay my mortgage. I have to pay my car payments. I mean, I can't go and take a job at McDonald's, right? So I have to do something. And I feel that, you know, trading was it.
Yeah.
No, I love that.
That's great. I'm happy that you kind of introduced the audience to kind of where you were before you started trading. And, you know, before we go into the actual trading part of it, I kind of want to speak on, you know, your values and the mindset that you had kind of before you even jumped into trading. Because you mentioned here that, you know, you've always kind of been of that entrepreneurial mindset. You know, in our pre-interview call, you mentioned you did that, you know, the grease recycling business, the mortgage brokering stuff, the crude oil production. And so I'm kind of curious, you know, what kind of... where did you get those values? You know, we had, again, our call, you kind of spoke on your dad and your mom and how one was kind of the more risk averse one was more of a risk taker. Can you kind of speak on the values that you kind of had in you before you jumped into trading? Like how you got to the point where you're looking for opportunity, right? Because the majority of people, you know, they'll take the safe route, you know, the 9-to-5, go through, kind of like you mentioned, getting to that American dream. Part of the process is going through schooling, right? Getting your degree, then finding a job, et cetera. So kind of curious where you got your, you know, that the values for that entrepreneurial mindset from.
Yeah. Well, definitely. Well, look, I myself, I want to say I'm an American, but, you know, I was born in Russia. I came here when I was a child. I was only a year and a half, 2 years when I came to this country. So technically I grew up in America, but my background and my parents and grandparents obviously, you know, influenced me, and raised me. So, you know, I'm going to take on a lot of the traits and, you know, and sort of the personalities and the, you know, the traditions of how they came up. And, you know, look, America is probably one of the, you know, the best country in the world, right? They say. It has its flaws, you know, just like many others, but overall, it's freedom and there's plenty of opportunity. In Russia, on the other hand, there really wasn't much of anything. You know, you were a slave to the government. You worked for the government. You couldn't own anything. You couldn't have your own businesses. And especially, you know, if you come from a Jewish background, I mean, it just made it a million times worse. You were persecuted and, you know, they took everything away from you and you just, you know, you were a slave pretty much. So in order to survive, people had to get creative, right? They had to come out of the box. They had to become the so-called hustler mentality. And, you know, look, if you didn't risk, you didn't eat. And that was just that was the plain truth. You know, you couldn't sit there at home and, you know, I'm waiting for a stimulus check to come in. Stimulus, you're going to starve before, you know, anyone in Russia gives you a stimulus check. I mean, you had to get out there, you had to work. And that's sort of what built that mindset was, look, you know, you have to take a little bit of risk. You know, don't jump off of a cliff without a parachute, right? But look, you have to be able to take a little bit of risk, evaluate your risk, make sure it, you know, the risk and reward ratio is pretty fair before you take it. And that was the mindset that I was brought up with. You know, my mom was a businesswoman. You know, she, you know, back in Russia, she ran around, you know, she would buy something here and sell it there for a little bit of profit and back and forth. And, you know, same thing with my grandparents. You know, they came here, they started their own business. I mean, you can imagine coming to America and not even speaking two words of English, you know, with nothing but the clothes on your back and, you know, X amount, a few pennies in your pocket, you know, whatever you managed to bring with you that they didn't take from you, on your way over. So, you know, they, once again, they hustled, they started their own business, over, you know, a few years and that's really where a lot of it came from. So now aside from, you know, from that, from my upbringing, it's, my risk was, look, I wasn't born with it, right? It was pushed on me in a way, through different business dealings. At some point, when you get involved with high risk ventures, whatever they may be, I mean, look, you can open up a pizzeria and there's tons of risk, right? That you have to deal with every day. There's risk that, you know, the place will go on fire. There's risk your chef will quit tomorrow, or, you know, whatever it may be. So there's risk in anything that you do. Me, on the other hand, for some reason, I don't know what it is, but my personality always dragged me towards, I guess, the riskier plays, you know, the things that wasn't mainstream, that everybody wasn't out there doing. I liked the challenge of something new. And it's just, and in doing that, that comes with an inherited risk, you know, and a lot of larger risk than a lot of other things. And, you know, look, when things are going well for you and you're profitable and business is booming, it's one thing. You don't feel the risk. You don't feel the problems as they come at you. They're speed bumps in the road is what they are. You know, when cash is coming in, you throw a few bucks at them and they're gone. But, you know, when things start to get a little bit tighter and worse, you know, and problems come at you from different directions. Believe me when I tell you, you manage that for a few years, your tolerance, you know, and pain level sort of, you know, increases substantially. You get a real thick skin.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely helped in the trading game. And, you know, but there's a lot more things at play than just risk when it comes to trading, right? I mean, you guys can agree.
Exactly. And we're kind of going to go through that a little bit. But I think, Georgie, you got a question there?
Yeah, I just want to ask you a really good question, Zelman. Well, I don't know, maybe it's not a really important one. I think it's probably a better way to say it. Is, you know, you're no stranger to going from one business to another, right? Trying different ventures, knowing when success is going well and when things hit a rough patch, knowing how to transition to another business venture when it's time, et cetera. So what was the transition like for you from a traditional business into trading? Like, did you feel that what you had accumulated in past business ventures were going to be helpful? Were you like nervous? How did you approach that transition? And what was the mindset leaving, you know, a business where you had to, you know, there's capital costs, there's work, there's labor, there's a whole business model to just going into, you know, clicking the mouse and making money? Like, what was that transition like?
I want to say after years of grinding and having to deal with people on a daily basis. And that's where the majority of the stress really came from in my life, was the one-on-one interaction with people, employees, suppliers, you know, customers, whoever it may be, right? Landowners. So that was always a lot of stress. That was the biggest part of the day, is just dealing with that. You know, I always tell everybody I'm a part-time firefighter. you know, because all I did part-time was put out fires all day long. You know, 7 a.m., my phone is going off. Fire here, fire there. I'm literally a part-time firefighter. But the transition was, for me personally, it was sort of, it wasn't very difficult. It was completely different. You know, it wasn't something that I was used to. It was a little different in what way? I'm more of a loner now, right? I don't have to rely on anyone else, anyone else's input. You know, someone, you know, I didn't have to worry that, oh, is my manager going to show up on time today? Or is this guy going to come in? Is this going to get done? Is that going to get done? It all revolved around me. So it was, I was responsible for everything. That's it. I couldn't blame anyone. I had to take all the responsibility on myself. And then, you know, transitioning sort of out of a work environment where you're surrounded by people and you're on the road and you're traveling and you're flying from one state to another and here and there, it was completely different. Because now, look, I'm sort of attached to my trade station and you know, my home office. I'll trade most of the day. I'm in the house. I'll come outside a little bit with the kids and back to the house, back to the trade station, or, you know, I'm reading charts or whatever it may be. But the transition was a lot easier, in a sense that I knew that this is something that if I put my mind to, I can get it done. And the risk that was required wasn't that substantial. Meaning I didn't have to, you know, open up a storefront or buy, you know, $1 million worth of machinery or do any of these crazy things and face different types of market conditions. I mean, here, I love market conditions. We make money off of them. You know, bring them on. You know, I love volatility. I mean, I hope the whole world burns. I'm just kidding. But you know what where I'm getting at. It was an easy entry. It's an entry for anyone. Anyone can get in, right? Anyone can qualify for this ride, right? They meet the height requirements to get on this ride. So, look.
That's so good. I like that. I've never heard that analogy, but
know,
I like
they,
that.
They meet the height requirement. You know how they measure you at Disneyland?
You must
know,
be this be tall.
4 foot
yeah.
11, you know, but yeah. So anyone, look, anyone can get on this ride. But here's one thing here from what I've seen, and I've done it myself. Look, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and play innocent that I haven't done it myself. Look, this is one of the only industries out there that I've ever seen where someone thinks that they can just, you know, let me open up a trading account. I'm going to make $1 million tomorrow. You know, they've watched some dude on YouTube driving a Lambo, you know, trading while he's going through McDonald's drive through. And hey, look, I just made 10 grand while I'm ordering a cheeseburger. You know, you can do it too. You know, buy my stupid video. Right.
Yeah.
And they fall for it. And they think that they can just come in and just start trading and making millions and millions of dollars. And look, everybody falls for it. Right. Why does everybody flock to the trading industry? Because there's a, you know, there's a certain glamour to it, right? There's that, you know, that make millions that it just projects. You know, it's like if you were a doctor, right? Would you go into Home Depot and just go buy a box cutter and say, okay, I'm going to go perform surgery tomorrow. You know, I'm gonna make $1 million, right? I'm gonna do open heart surgery. No, you wouldn't. You know, you have to train. You have to.
I love that you said Home Depot. You wouldn't even go to like a surgical store.
Exactly.
Straight to Home Depot.
You get a box cutter and some, you know, or a dentist. You know, just go buy a set of pliers. You know, what else do you need, right?
You ever need a numbs of pain? No, what aisle? No, okay.
Exactly. So, yeah, a lot of people jump into trading and they think it's very easy. You know, just like buying a pair of pliers and going to pull teeth as a dentist. No, it doesn't work that way, unfortunately, right? So it does take, there is a learning curve. And I think besides the learning curve that's there, I think that there is more of a mental, curve that you have to overcome more than anything else. I mean, look, you can read one book, two books, 10 books, take this course, take that course. Look, I mean, how many times, you know, do you need to learn about a doji candle or something, you know, something ridiculous, right? It really doesn't boil down to that anymore after a certain point. It's all mental. I mean, does that make sense, guys?
Oh, yeah, 100%. No,
That's amazing. Mark, can I ask one more follow-up one, then we'll take it back to the agenda? Because you mentioned something interesting here, Zalman. You know, from somebody who's done many businesses and succeeded to some extent in all of them, right, is the low barrier to entry, right? So with trading, you don't have to spend $1 million. For a couple of $1,000, you could fund your account and get a few monitors in today's world. It's so cheap. Do you think that that lower entry barrier is actually a deterrent to some new traders? It's so easy to get into that you don't even have to consider whether you need skill or not. You could just jump right in.
Well, yeah.
Whereas any other business, you know, it takes a mill. You're going to think about it. Where do I get the money? What else could I do with it, right? Like, you could feel it more, if you will.
Yeah, well, you know what it is? I mean, look, it's definitely makes it a lot more attractive for new investors or people who want to get into the industry. I mean, look at Robinhood. Look at what they're doing. I mean, they're breeding. I mean, I wouldn't call them professional traders, right? They're sort of just sheep. You know, get in line, right? Get in line. Look, some of them will make money, some of them won't, but I don't think Robinhood is really teaching them the fundamentals that are required of them to become, forget about professional traders, but profitable traders. I mean, they might win a trade or two here and there, but I just don't see, you know, that win streak going on for 10, 15, 20 years and someone making a career out of it. But yeah, yeah. I think, look, trading, I think futures, let's go to futures for a second. I think futures is more of a hidden gem within the market, let's just call it, right? Everybody knows that you can trade stock. Everybody wants to buy Apple and today Bitcoin. I don't know why anybody wants to touch Bitcoin, but everybody's looking at the Facebooks, the Apples, the Amazons, and, you know, all the rest of those companies, but nobody really looks at the futures market because it doesn't seem like it's a lot more, not that it's not attractive. I don't think it's mainstream. I don't think there's much publicity around it where even to trade a day trade, a stock account, you still have to have 25 grand, right? To day trade, yep. Intraday, right? So
right,
you have 25 grand. So that's not a cheap entry either, right? To trade the markets with futures. I mean, what's a mini cost today? $400?
Yeah.
Right? Per contract?
$400 to $500. Yeah.
$400. I mean, put $2,000 in, $3,000, $5,000, whatever it is, you're off to the races. You know, you put a couple of grand into your account, you can trade micros and minis and, I mean, all day long, right? So I think if this industry was to promote itself a little bit better, as far as the futures market trading is concerned, I think there would be a lot more people coming on board. But yeah, I think there's a lot of misconceptions that people need to be aware of. And unfortunately, this is a game where there are a lot of people out there that want to take advantage of you. And they will sell you on a dream versus on a reality. And you pretty quickly come to realize that, you know, you're not going to make $1 million next week. It's just, it's not going to happen. And I think that's where they either quit at that point or they try to reinvent themselves and, you know, look for something else to trade, right? Different method, yeah. Different style, different this, different that. So, yeah, it's definitely important, you know, to educate new traders, you know, on the markets, what markets they should trade, what they shouldn't trade, what's profitable, you know, what is required of them to do this or do that. You know, people get into the Forex market. I tried Forex. I just didn't like it personally. I thought futures was the best fit. I think you can make probably the most amount of money, right, with the least amount of capital in the futures market.
Yeah, I would argue that.
And you know what else I like about it? I love the fact that you don't have to sit there and analyze and research fundamentals and profits and this and what are they doing? Is this company splitting? Are they merging? Are they, you know, what's going on here? What's going on there? Futures is way simpler than that. You know, you don't even options. You know, I thought about trading options and then I'm like, you know what? I like futures. You know, I don't want to deal with the monitoring. There's just too much, you know, too much to review, to watch and read. I don't want to do it. I just want to get on.
Becomes
front of the
more like a traditional business
action.
Again, right? More overhead capital and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're back in the same boat as you were before. You exactly. strip away a lot of the advantages of the trading industry by putting this workload on yourself. Because, you only trade 2 hours a day, but then you got to research if you're doing fundamental.
Yeah, that's of most of the days. You're researching all day long. You're looking at different companies and this and that. I didn't want to do that personally. You know, some people love it. Me, I like the more of a laid back approach. You know, wake up in the morning, you know, look at this, look at that, look at a few charts and, okay, yeah, it looks like, S&P's opening up above its pivot. All right, man, might have a little bit of a, bullish day today. Let's see what happens, and that's it. I don't care about, profits or anything like that.
I like it, man. And I feel like we're kind of similar in personality that way. That's one of the reasons I love futures is because, don't get me wrong, I'm not lazy, but I don't want to have all the time spent researching everything and getting all that stuff done. What I love about futures is exactly what you mentioned. You know, you can wake up pre-market, see what the overnight action's looking like, look at some of the key indicators, and you're pretty much off the get-go there. But before we kind of go in more on that, I want to get a better idea here for the audience, kind of like where your trading journey started. You know, I don't think that we were the first, you came to us first. You mentioned you had a little bit of exposure to Forex first. So I'm kind of curious, what was trading like before you joined TradePro Academy, as far as, the assets you traded, kind of the styles, and, what kind of led you to TradePro, and how things have been different since finding us?
You guys weren't the first. I did... the typical bounce around. Let me see what this guy says. Let me watch these videos. Let me watch that video. And look, a lot of them are convincing. They're better salesmen than their traders. I can tell you that much. They know how to sell. And I did fall for a few of those products. And unfortunately, I can't say that was a bad thing. I mean, it was a learning experience. I just know what not to do in the future. Anymore, if I have to, or if I have to recommend a product to someone, I'll definitely, tell them where to go. When I started my career, it was a few months before I found you guys, and I went through the videos of the guys with the Lamborghinis, and went that route, tried out Forex a little bit, and it wasn't my thing. It was. Just the hours were odd. You had to, get up in the middle of the night, early morning. This opens there. This one opens there. It became too much of a headache. And, look, at 40 years old, bottom line, I'm looking to make my life easier and not harder, right? And that is one of the reasons I love to trade futures because, look, I open up my charts. I have NASDAQ. I have S&P, crude oil, and gold. Done. Right? It's all in front of my face. I pick whatever I want to choose. 90% of the time I'm on the S&P. Sometimes I'll take a trade on oil if I see it, I see a good level or it's, news or whatever it is. Gold, I don't trade much. I'll just watch it and it's just been acting weird lately. Right? As far as the correlations are concerned, it's kind of all over the place. It can't really even gauge it anymore, right? It's moving up with equities and down with it. It just doesn't make any sense. So I leave it alone. I just watch it. But futures is sort of the easiest trading out there because it doesn't require a lot of research and a lot of different things. But just to get back to your original question, my journey, I started with Forex. I did that for a little while, didn't like it, couldn't find my flow. And, back to Google, courses, classes, this, that, the other. Look, at 40 years old, it's not as easy to learn a new career, right? To learn something brand new from scratch. Completely that you've never done before, period. So I found you guys at that point. And, I started listening to George and... I have to say, George, I mean, you really, there's something about you in particular, right? Your teaching style and your voice, and you're very soothing, right? You project this comfort, right? This little aura comes out, you know, from you when I was, you know, when I listened to your classes, and you definitely build a lot of confidence in people. And when I started listening to your classes, I really started to understand that, look, you know, this guy is probably the real deal, because it wasn't about making money. You know, every time somebody tries to sell you a product, you know, you're going to make $10 billion. Just give me 20 bucks. You know, usually it's all BS, right? You, on the other hand, I really appreciated your honesty. And, you know, right from the get-go, from the first, you know, from the first lesson, you know, you laid it out. Look, guys, this is what it is. This is what that is. This is what this is. And that really attracted me. And I really appreciated your honesty. You know, for once, I didn't feel like I'm a fool that's being sold something that, you know, isn't going to work for me. So that gave me the, you know, the motivation to continue, you know, to stick to the classes and to push, you know, through it. So that entire cycle, I did. Unfortunately, I didn't prepare myself mentally enough for what was ahead. I thought that learning some chart patterns, learning little order flow or market structure, or, you know, whatever it is that's there to learn, was enough to be able to be a successful trader. And I was wrong, to be honest with you. I did struggle. I felt as if though every trade I took went against me, and it did. Just everything was off, and I couldn't get a grasp on what I was doing wrong, where I was going wrong. And I, some of the most important issues, well, not issues, most important parts of a trader's development that you mentioned in the class, I avoided because of impatience. And, you know, I don't have time to just sit here and watch the market. I got to make money. I got bills to pay. So that sort of really, really ruined it for me from the get-go. And there was a little bit of a point where I had to take a break and then come back to it.
Awesome. Oh, so, you know, that kind of goes on to the next question I was gonna ask. You know, you kind of mentioned, I guess you kind of answered it already, but it was, can you speak on the importance of setting proper expectations for new traders? So, you know, you kind of answered it already in the sense that you were impatient because you knew you had bills to be paid, and, you know, you're kind of trying to force things, right? And I think for the audience, what's important to understand is that, you know, oftentimes we come into, you know, any course, doesn't have to be Trade Pro Academy, could be anything out there. You come in with kind of those expectations that, all right, I've paid for this, I get the access to the strategy, and now everything should take care of itself, right? But not realizing that it's really the operator that you need the most work on in order to develop yourself into that trader that you want to become, right? Because anybody can teach you a strategy, anybody can teach you risk management, but at the end of the day, it's up to the person that's, you know, pulling the trigger at the end of the day, who the results or the performance ultimately comes back to. So can you kind of just speak on, you know, the difference between...
Yeah, absolutely. Look, some of the my flaws in the beginning was I took the elite class and the morning sort of, you know, the trading room, and I looked for shortcuts. Right. I was looking for George or you or Vicky to feed me a trade idea. Right. An entry. Where do I get in? I was looking for a shortcut. Right. How do I get in here? How do I make money with that, with the least amount of effort and as soon as possible? Unfortunately, that is not the case. I mean, the purpose of the elite room is not to look for, you know, trade entries or ideas. I mean, yeah, it's helpful. You'll get ideas, but it's more of a learning experience. It's more of a, you know, just listen to Mark, listen to George. They're talking about levels and price action and just how the market works. That's really the purpose of the room. Now, I think traders starting out in this game need to do a few things. Like myself, I had different expectations when I started. that were quickly crushed, fiercely, I should say, crushed. But look, you can only learn so much when it comes to actual trading itself, or how the market works, market conditions and structure and candles and patterns and, you know, order flow and so on and so forth. I think what traders really need to do is they need to sort of practice. Number one is patience. You know, that's key. Is sit back and just watch, right? Forget about getting involved in a trade. If I were to point to one part of the trade course that discusses, teaches trading, I think the most important part there is where, you know, George had you guys, sign contracts, right? Not to trade for 21 days, right? Or 30 days, whatever it was. Yeah, I apologize for Wolf. But
you got it, man.
Yeah, I think that is probably one of the most important aspects that new traders need to follow, is just sit back and watch. Don't look to get in on a trade, even if it's a sim account, doesn't matter. Because what happens is, while you're sitting there looking for your entry, you're focused on one point. You're staring at a footprint or wherever it is that you're looking at, and you're missing the big picture overall. You don't see what's happening on your other charts. You don't see what's happening to the NASDAQ or to this or to that, because you're focused on your trade entries and you're missing the big picture. So in order to really progress as a trader and to really home in on your skills, you have to sit back and you have to spend the time and put in the screen time. And that's really what it boils down to. You know, look, if you were sitting there in front of your computer and your nose is 6 inches away from your monitor, you're way too close. You know, you got to back up. You know, you have to visualize everything. You know, you have to use your peripherals. You have to monitor at all times. You have to give yourself sort of, put together a little bit of a scanning type of system, right? Where you go from one chart to another and, you know, sort of in a circle or in a swirl or however your monitors are set up. And just watch the market. Don't try to jump in. Don't try to trade. Because what ends up happening when you do that, you build bad habits. And these bad habits are something that you are going to have a very tough time breaking later on. And I've done them. I have habits that I still do now. And every time I do it, I sit there and I'm like, oh my God, George would just punch me in the face right now if he would have seen me doing this. If he would have seen me with this fader right now, he would have been so pissed. Yeah. Every time I do it, and the worst part is that I know I shouldn't be doing it, but I keep doing it because it's a bad habit that I instilled in myself before I really learned how to trade properly and self-control. That's definitely part of my day is these shitty trades when I shouldn't be taking them, and your voice is going off in my ear, George.
It's amazing. I'm glad I can help, because right, like, some people don't have that voice. I had that voice in my head too, right? I had help. Everyone had somebody who kind of showed them the ropes. But I'm happy you had a chance to have that. I'm happy you listened, Zalman, because a lot of people don't. You know, very few people, or a lot of people, exit this industry doing things they know they shouldn't. Like, how miserable is it to get out of an industry failing at it and then walking away and looking back and saying, I never really did what was required to begin with? Right? Absolutely. I think that's the biggest frustration of this business.
Yeah,
all this money.
Yeah. Not giving yourself the chance, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I lost all this money, I lost all this time, and I didn't even have a shot. Like, how frustrating is that?
Well, because I didn't follow the rules. You know, I walked in, you know, thinking that, hey, you know, what do I need to do this for? Hey, why do I need to spend 21 days zoning or get out of here? What's zoning? I don't have time for this. I got to make money. You know, my mortgage is due. I got to pay for my kid's school. What's zoning? What am I going to sit here for a month staring at this computer screen? You know, I can't do this. And that was the biggest mistake I made. It was the fact that I avoided everything that was the most important part of my development. It really was. It was the screen time. It was the patience. It was just watching and getting into tune with the market. You know, the market is an ebb and flow. It's a rinse and repeat. It does the same exact thing over and over and over and over and over. And if you stare at these charts long enough, you're going to start to anticipate these moves before they happen, right? That's where you take your trades. But that requires the screen time. It requires the patience. And I feel for new traders, just watch. Don't be in a rush to take trades. Sit back, you know, bring the market in, feel the market, you know, feel it. Don't just look at one chart. Don't get focused on your footprint or on the 5 tick or on the 10 tick or whatever it is. Just, you know, take it in everything in your, you know, with your peripherals. Just glance around. Okay, when the NASDAQ ticks up, what does this do? When the footprint does this, what is this doing? Just take it all in. And eventually, it's just like riding a bicycle, right? If you had to consciously think about riding a bicycle, you would never be able to do it, right? You would never be able to steer and keep yourself upright. So it's the same thing with the market. Eventually, after a certain amount of time, it just becomes second nature, and you're just automatically doing it.
You know, I'm so happy to hear that you're bringing it to light how important that 21-day challenge is, because you know, you'd be surprised to find out we can see all the analytics on the back end of the website, and more often than not, people skip through that part.
The most important parts they skip through, the parts where money management towards the end, and you know those are like, you know, nobody cares about that. You know, show me how to put a trade on. You know, show me this, show me that. Yeah. Nobody really cares about the most, but they really are the most important parts that people need to use to progress. But look, let me say this to any trader out there. You know, whether you're have a little bit of experience or are completely brand new, just signed up, just started last week, 2 weeks ago, whatever it may be, right? Don't follow the herd. Don't have a herd mentality. Every one of us is unique in a certain way, right? We all have our likes, our dislikes, our personalities, our levels of aggression, levels, you know, risk levels, our tolerances, right? How much are we willing to tolerate of pain, of punishment, right? How much money can we lose? How much money can we make? What we're willing to put on the line. And you have to be unique in this business, is what I have noticed. You know, in the beginning, you know, you guys, you send over the chart books. Fantastic. My chart books looked exactly like George's. I mean, you know, everything. I mean, size. I mean, color. I mean, one to one. And I thought that was sort of the miracle. You know, if I wanted to be a good trader, I needed to look at the charts exactly the same way George is looking at the charts, right? He's successful doing it. Well, then, you know, he has a secret sauce, and I want, you know, some of his sauce. So, you know, you fall into that herd type of mentality, you know, where one person puts one indicator on, say, hey, look, guys, I got a new indicator, and everybody's going crazy for this indicator. And oh my God, I need this. This is it. This is what I was waiting for my whole life. Where have you been? You know, I'm going to stop losing now because I have this indicator. But look, that's not what it boils down to. You have to be unique. You have to design a system that works for you. Just because, you know, George uses a certain setting on his charts, it works for him. It doesn't mean it's going to work for everyone, right? This business, you have to be unique. You have to be able to adapt. You have to be able to modify. You have to be able to grow with the times. Market conditions keep changing. I mean, look, if you've noticed, just under two separate presidents, look at the feel of the market, right? How they feel, how the market moved and felt under Trump. And how it's completely different under Biden, right? It has a different feel to it, a different vibe, different price action, everything. So you have to adjust with it. And the same thing with trading, with your software, with your trade ideas. You have to be, you know, unique. You know, don't look for a shortcut. Don't look for someone to give you, the next best trade. You have to put in the legwork on your own. That's the only way you're going to develop yourself. I mean, look, if someone's going to feed you information all day long, how do you expect to become a good trader? You know, what happens if George goes on vacation for a week? What are you going to do? Not trade? Right?
No more making money for you.
Take a freaking week off.
You're going to have to listen to me.
Are you
going to
make him call you from the beach, you know, to run the elite room? Is that what you guys are going to do? But you have to be, you have to be unique. You're not going to find the next best thing. There is no such thing as the secret indicator or the, you know, the one person that'll lead you to, you know, to into the skies, and into profitability. Right. There's no such thing. And I think, the faster people realize that, the better they're off. From my experience, I mean, I can only speak for myself, right? It might work for me. It might not work for you guys, but look, I developed a strategy that works for me. The indicators that I use, they work for me. I shared them with the team, with the community, because look, they might work for you. They might not work for you. But you have to try, right? You don't necessarily have to use my settings. You can modify them to work for you. You have to be unique. It's very, very important. And, you know, just don't get stuck staring at one screen. Visualize, move around. You know, you look at your 20 tick, your 10 tick, NASDAQ. I mean, you have to be sort of all over the place and really take everything in, you know, versus waiting for a trade signal from someone or staring at, you know, one chart and what have you. So that's something that I would definitely recommend for, you know, for most new traders.
Awesome. So I'm kind of curious now that you've been, you know, you've obviously found success with trading. How much different is your style nowadays versus, you know, kind of when you started up? Has you changed a good chunk of things, or have you kind of kept the foundation and just added a layer to the process?
Well, I've changed. There's a small bit of the foundation that I started with there. Mm-hmm. For the most part, I have changed a lot. Okay. I started with the safe approach, right? I'm only going to trade pullbacks.
Yep.
And nothing else. And I started with the approach where I have to get, you know, my perfect entry, and I'm looking for, you know, I'm only going to put my limit order here. And if it doesn't come down here, I'm not going to take the trade. And what ended up happening was I was missing a lot of trades, and yep. It was getting me aggravated that I wasn't getting in on trades. And then because I was getting aggravated, I was sort of revenge trading that really, you know, hurt. And that took most of my capital. So once again, it falls back on your personality. What type of a person are you? Are you patient, or are you a little bit of, you know, impatient, hyperactive? I mean, what's your personality like? You know, can you sit in front of this monitor all day long waiting for that one or two perfect trades? I couldn't. It just didn't work for me. I saw myself missing out on a lot of opportunities, and I felt I had to modify my trading style in order to capitalize on them, because, mm-hmm. you know, the pullback strategy for me just wasn't working. And the truth of the matter is, I'm a fader by heart. I'm not going to lie. I'll miss an entire impulse wave, you know, an entire impulse move just to fade the fucking, excuse me, just to fade the thing on the way down.
That was well placed. That's okay. Yeah, that was a very well placed one.
It's just, I'm a fader by heart, okay? And you know what? It hurt me so bad so many times. And every time I did it, I heard George's voice, don't fade. You know, this is don't fade. It's dangerous. Don't fade. I kept hearing that voice, and I kept doing it. And the price kept going and running and running. I was like, where is it going? Where are you going? Where are you rallying? This thing was just consolidating for 3 days. All of a sudden, I put on a fade. This thing wants to run to the moon. I mean, come on.
Oh, I know that feeling.
You know, right?
Yeah.
That thing was barely even moving the entire day. All of a sudden, I put a trade on, and this thing is just shot up 20 points in the other direction. So, but yeah. and that's how, I mean, I've blown up plenty of accounts doing it. So, But I had to modify my strategy. I modify my strategy daily. It's not even one thing. It's not even one time where, okay, I'll change this a little bit. I'll change that a little bit. I think you have to have an arsenal of strategies. One strategy does not fit into every market condition. I mean, look at today, what was going on, right? I mean, things were kind of volatile. I mean, the market was moving. So, you know, your pullback strategy probably isn't going to work very well for you, you know, or whatever strategy you're using. So you have to have different strategies for different days. You have to have your slow days, your fast days, your medium days, your news days. I mean, whatever it may be, you have to be able to have a different type of trading approach for that day. And it's not just a strategy, but it's a total approach as to how you're going to trade this market or this sort of, you know, what's going on right now. You have to have multiple, you know, things that you can deploy to any day.
Exactly. So kind of curious, you know, once you started implementing more of your own personality into the strategy, was there like a certain point where you started to, you know, hit profits and you felt like a consistently profitable trader? Or was it something more like, I'm following my process and I'm getting profit as a result of doing, you know, following these processes?
Well, I was doing really well in the beginning and I got a little cocky and I felt a little bit unstoppable in the beginning. I had a few aha moments, right? Where, wow, this is what I needed, right? Now that I figured this out, I'm going to kill it. And then I had a few profitable days, I mean, pretty good days. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, Jesus, I can make 20 grand a day. You know, I got cocky and I started, and it started to come out. And that's what really, you know, kind of did me in the first time around. You know, I was overconfident. I started putting on trades that just weren't, I wasn't supposed to put on. And you know, market in, market out, getting a little outrageous, and it did me in. I mean, I lost a lot of money, and that was sort of, you know, that was the breaking point for me where I had to really modify things, and I just had to stop and control myself, just a little bit of balance. And that's really what led up to today. Today, look, I do take the questionable trades, right? That probably I shouldn't take, right? But I have a feeling that they'll play out in my favor from what I'm seeing, right? From my charts, from my, you know, my order flow tools that I have. I'm reading price action. I'm reading, you know, certain things that are giving me the idea of taking on a trade. Look, to be honest with you, one of my strategies, and it's a strategy that I've made the most amount of money on, and it sounds crazy, but rotations. I trade rotations, and I'll take 4 to 5 ticks on every single one. I see a zero print, high volume node. It's going to rotate. Slap it, you know, and take a couple of ticks. I won't do it every day, but in certain market conditions, you could. So you got to be able to evolve, you know, and to progress.
1,000%. I love that you're saying, you know, even the scalping the rotations. I mean, it kind of goes exactly.
I trade it in every direction. I don't care if it's a bull, if it's a bear. Look, I start with my 20 tick. Where am I on the 20 tick? Are we on a pullback? Okay, good. You know, let's just say, for example, average pullback in the S&P is 60%, right, on average. Okay, so I got some runway room here. You know, I could take a couple of shorts, you know, till I get to, you know, either a Fibonacci level or, you know, a 50 or 60% retracement. Then I'll stop trading and see what happens, you know, and then, you know, set up for a pullback trade, you know, back to the upside or whatever it may be. So I'll trade it both ways. If you look at, you know, on some slower days, right, after 11:30, 12 o'clock, when the market kind of slows down a little bit, you can easily get 4 or 5 ticks on rotations. You know, you see a zero print, just go against it, right? It'll rotate. And if it doesn't, my finger is always over the nuke button. So if it doesn't go my way, I nuke it. All right, I'll lose a point or two. So that's where a lot of the aggression comes from and risk-taking. Now, I'm not just taking risk just for the sake of taking it. I've been staring at these charts for quite a while now, and I feel that I see these moves coming before they happen, right? I see them building in front of me. So I know what to expect. I know what the outcome may be. Does that make sense? I mean, you guys sit there, you look at the charts, and you can tell when this thing is going to rotate, right?
Yeah.
I mean, especially, but how many people act on it, right? Not very many. I mean, not very many will slap an order on, right?
It's very true.
Yeah, very true, man. Like, when you, I think you said the golden thing there, Sal, is that the more screen time you have, the more obvious things become, right? That you're like, how didn't I see this at the beginning?
Exactly.
But I think at the beginning, you're looking for so many things, it's hard to catch anything. Exactly. Right? At the beginning, you're just trying to learn how to learn this thing as a whole. And this is why people start out with these profit expectations at the worst time, because they don't even know what's going on yet. You're kind of just, you get let into a party and you're looking around. You're not going to go for to have 10 shots. Exactly. You look at the environment, you know, who's around
exactly.
you, what's
you
going
can't
on.
Just walk into a party and just, you know, do a cannonball into the pool, right? You got to, you know, go get a drink, shake a few hands, you know, stand in a corner, you know, look for all the hot girls, you know, where are they, you know, who's single, who's this, right? Before you start cannonballing into the pool. So that, yes. And unfortunately, I did it. And I think a lot of traders do it.
I've done it when I started out, for sure. We all do it, man. That's the human psychology. See,
what am I
leads
here
you.
For? What are you, crazy? What is this one contract or 1 minute for five ticks? What? I'm here to make millions. What do you mean? The guy on the internet told me I was going to have a Lamborghini by Friday. What is this one contract for 5, 10 ticks, 8 ticks, whatever?
And it's Thursday
Where's
night.
Where's the money? Show me the beef. You know, where's the loot? Yeah, it's like,
exactly.
You know, Monday. Yeah. I mean, it's where's my Lambo? Come on. But look, we've all done it. I've done it. Guilty. I still do it. I'm not going to lie. You know, I'm being totally transparent. I do take trades that I regret 2 seconds after entry. And, you know, I'm just eating like 2 or 3 ticks, and I'm happy that I just ate 2 or 3 ticks of loss. But yeah, you have to get in the screen time. You really have to, you know, put in the patience, put in the screen time, and stop, you know, trying to follow the herd. You know, avoid the herd mentality. Try to think for yourself. Design a trading strategy that works for you. Something that fits your personality, fits your hours of trading, right? Very important. I mean, are you an evening trader? Are you an afternoon trader? Early morning? I mean, look, you have to have a strategy that fits your hour of operation also. It all changes, right? You can't trade at night the way you trade at the opening bell. So you have to modify all of that, you know, based around your conditions, based around, you know, around your surroundings. I mean, who are you trading with? You know, what are you doing while you're trading? Where are you trading? Is the kids bouncing around off the walls, you know, in the apartment while you're trading? I mean, all of that comes into play. But
always.
Yeah, there is no magic indicator here. There really isn't. It's about, you know, keeping an eye out on everything, sort of trading from, you know, from your perspective, you know, watch everything at the same time. You know, look, you know what the market's supposed to do, visualize it, and take your trades based around that.
Yeah. That's amazing. Sorry, Sal. Marky and I here, we have a very complex system of communicating who goes next.
We shared a moment
you guys
there.
Just draw straws or something.
Yeah, and it involves either pointing at each other, that's one of the complex things, or writing in the document.
No, that was...
That we use...
I like what you mentioned there, Sal, and I'm kind of curious, you know, as far as like your own mindset, you know, you mentioned a lot of important things throughout the entirety of the episode, but I think a lot of the nuggets kind of came with regards to kind of like your mindset having come from a entrepreneurial kind of background where you had previous businesses before, so you came into trading with that understanding that, all right, I've had success in different industries, and I understand that to succeed in this one, I need to treat it the same way I treated the other ones, right? And so I'm kind of curious from, you know, from your perspective, What would you say is kind of like the main mindset challenge that a lot of the newer traders would face when they come into this industry?
Well, for me, I want to say coming from the business side of things, trading is not much different. It is a business. It has to be treated as a business. It's not a game. It can consume your life and your finance, you know, your finance, your money rather quickly. You have to have some type of discipline, right? You have to have a schedule. You have to wake up at a certain time. You have to do a certain rituals in the morning in order to prepare yourself for the trading day. You have to take trading and consider it a business in a way where, look, you know, you can't just, I don't know, go out and buy a laptop and sit there, you know, on the living room floor thinking you're going to make $1 billion. You have to invest in the infrastructure, right? You have to get some good hardware. You have to get, you know, decent monitors. You want to be able to give yourself the best chance out there, right? You can't just, you know, walk in here and half-ass it and expect to be successful. So that's one thing. Second thing is mindset. You have to walk into this with the right mindset. And for me, that was, I can't say it was easy. It wasn't very difficult. I was sort of accustomed to success over the years. And I never liked failure. So I never really expected failure. And I kept pushing through no matter what happened. So for me, the transition was, you know, I know I'm going to overcome this. But, you know, how much time and energy and money is it going to take to do so? I kept pushing through, but you really do have to treat it as a business. You have to have open and close hours, right? You know that your business opens at X certain amount of time and closes at this time. You know that you have bills that you have to pay, you know, let's say in the form of commissions, right? Or whatever you're paying for, you know, news feeds and what have you, and employees. And look, you are the employee. Bottom line, you know, whether you're the boss or you think you're the boss, ultimately you're an employee and your company pays you, right? You can't, just because you made $1,000 today, it's not like you're going to reach into your account and pull $1,000 out, right? You have to build up equity in your account and you have to pay yourself a salary. So ultimately, it's very similar to running a business, you know, and maintaining it that way. Paying taxes and everything, right?
Exactly. I think that's one thing that kind of falls upon new traders, right? I feel like when a majority of traders make that decision, they get to a point of frustration where it's like, all right, I've tried trading. I'm not getting the results I want. I'm not doing what I planned out to achieve. And you get to that crossroad, right? It's either, all right, now I'm going to start treating this like a business or continue doing the same. Right. And the people that continue doing the same, those are the ones, you know, the statistics that we see, you know, the 90% that leave the industry in 90 days, right? Losing 90% of their capital. Whereas the person that understands, I think it's super important that you understand it's a business and you have to treat it like a business from the get-go.
It takes years to build a business. You know, exactly. You can't build a business overnight. I mean, look, even Facebook wasn't built overnight. Right. Google. I mean, these companies weren't just built overnight. This is years and years and years of hard work, you know. And for me, if I can make a suggestion to anyone that wants to get in to be a futures trader or, you know, whatever options, I mean, whatever it is, I think that to ensure your success or at least give you a fighting chance. Right. Take those statistics down from 90% to maybe 50-50 is to give it at least a year of time without trying to make money. And I know that's hard for a lot of people. Right. We all have bills to pay. And, you know, we have other commitments that, you know, we have bills to pay. We need to make money. And it's not easy for anyone to sort of commit an entire year or what to you know, practicing and learning a craft. Everybody wants to jump in and make money immediately. And unfortunately, that is not going to get you to profitability. It's just not. That's the truth. No matter how much you try, it just won't get you there. Because I think, you know, that year is an appropriate amount of time where you get pretty intimate with the market and you really start to understand how it moves and what it reacts to and how it reacts and where it rotates and where it pauses and where it does this and where it does that. So you can really focus now on your trading entry, right? Your trading management, getting in on a trade, getting out on a trade. If you haven't perfected market structure or knowing what the market's going to do, identifying levels and what have you, how can you put in trades? How can you get in and out of trades profitable, right? There's no way possible that a new trader can process all that information at the same time, right? Watching, you know, this and watching that and managing a trade. So I think before you even get in and start trading anything, you have to spend the time and watch the market. Now, you know, after, I mean, you guys have been doing it for way longer than I have, right? I mean, George, you have, what, 20 years in this industry already, right? Plus, I mean, Mark.
Yeah, it started in 2001 with FX.
Yeah, I mean, you, I mean, Mark, how long have you been doing this?
Probably 6 or 7 now.
6 or 7. 20, I mean, yeah, so you guys have, 2013. You know, way more time than I do in this. I mean, I'm doing it for a year and a half now. And I'm sort of, I'm getting the, you know, the big picture, right? Where I sit back and I'll watch my monitors from across the room. I don't even sit in front of them half the time. I'll watch them from across the room and I have an idea. And they'll send me a signal on, you know, where it's time to take a trade or where it's time, you know, what they're doing. So that's really what you need to spend a lot of time on is just watching, getting the feel of it. You know, let the market talk to you. You know, it'll tell you when to put a trade on. You know, your subconscious mind is a great trader. Just don't, you know, get out of its way. You know, don't get in your subconscious mind way by trying to think through a trade. You know, just let it do its thing. Just, you know, hit the button for it. But yeah, that's I think that's very, very important is just it's definitely going to take you at least a year. I mean, for the people that, you know, that think they're going to come on board and do this overnight, you're setting yourself up for failure or someone who just wants to come in and make tons of money and think that that's going to happen. You know, you're really setting yourself up for failure. You might have a couple of quick, you know, quick scores where, you know, you'll catch a few good trades. You'll make a little bit of money. And, you know, like me, your head blows up and you think you're amazing. And the next thing you know, the market slaps the hell out of you.
Yeah, I think we've all been there, man.
Yeah. And it happens to me, you know, plenty every day. You know, look, I have my bad days. I have my good days. Look, some days today, I didn't trade. I woke up in the morning. I felt horrible. My mind was in a fog. I had a pretty good month. Of trading. I knew if I was going to get in here now, I was going to get cracked. I knew that was going to happen. So it's all about discipline. You know, you have to, you know, be able to tell yourself no, like a child, you know, just slap your hand away. No, you know, don't touch the fire. Right? Don't go down those stairs. And you have to treat yourself as a child, really, in trading to just to maintain your rules, your discipline. You know, stay away from certain things. And it's very difficult to do so in the beginning because you haven't experienced the pain of rule breaking yet, right? When you step away from, you know, when you start moving your stop where you're not supposed to and, you know, and all these things, you haven't experienced that pain yet, that you get from breaking the rules. So it's very important, all these things.
George, you're muted.
I'm sorry, there's a little bit of background noise, so I was on mute there. But this is why the program is designed this way, Sal, is because the idea at the beginning isn't to, hey, don't fade, you know, focus on risk. It's not because we don't want the traders to make money. It's just that this is what's required to make it long enough, to have longevity enough to really realize what it takes. You know what I mean? It's like there comes a point
where you have to build out the foundations. I mean, look, George, it's your job to do the right thing. With all of the traders in the community, right? You have to steer them in the right direction. Everybody here is an adult, right? They want to put on a risky trade. God bless you. You know, everybody's an adult, but I think it's your job is to instill in them the right way to trade, right? The foundations that are required of everyone, and certain rules. Well, not rules or regulations, but certain. Look, you can move your stop if you want. Nobody's gonna scream at you if you do, right? It's your business. You run your business the way you want to. But look, 90 or let's just say, you know, the professional traders do it this way, right? You put in a stop, don't move your stop, leave it there, right? Because what ends up happening, price runs away, you keep moving it, now you're in a hole and, you know, forget it, you blew out an account. So, you know, these rules are there for a reason, and I understand that, and that's why I loved you guys. I appreciated the honesty and being straightforward, and given everyone that sense of security, right? Where do I fall back to if all else fails? I fall back to, you know, my foundations, you know, what George and Marky and everyone at Trade Pro taught us right from the beginning, you know, the foundations course. You know, what do we do if this happens? What do we do if that happens? You know, I'm not having a good day today. You know what? Let me not be so aggressive. Let me fall back to basics and let me take the safe approach. And I'll wait for only pullbacks and I'll do only this and I'll do only that. And you have to. I mean, look, I think it's a requirement, right, from your end, right? I mean, you wouldn't want to, teach anyone how to be aggressive and blow out an account. I mean, because it's so easy to do that it doesn't require an instruction, right? I mean, it really doesn't require much instruction to blow out an account. It takes 2 seconds. So, yeah, I mean, I think your approach is fantastic. And you know, I've listened to the course, you know, a few times. I'll go through certain sections of it and whatnot. And, you know, try to get, you know, some more information out of it for myself. But, you know, yeah, your method is definitely, definitely the best out there that I've seen personally, being a consumer of, trading courses.
A connoisseur of sorts.
A connoisseur, yes. I've tasted quite a few of them. And, you know, yeah, you're right up my alley.
I laughed when you said you couldn't blow out an account. You don't need instruction for that. I laughed really hard, but I was on mute.
Yeah.
Look, and then I told Mark, I'm like, that's a quotable of the episode right there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, look, you guys take a great approach. And honestly, you do. And you really give the traders what they need, right? What they need in the beginning, right? This is not, you know, 2, 3, 5, 10 years down the road. If you're a beginning trader, if you just started, if you just signed up, they have to follow your instruction. And your instruction, your classes are designed to instill security into new traders. And that's very important, right? It's very important. You have to have your foundations down, man. You have to have your principles, right? What are your principles in trading? You can't just go rogue and, you know, do whatever the hell you please and think you're going to be successful, right? It's a business. You have to operate it that way. Limit your risk, manage your money. And like you say, you know, you get rewarded for being a good money manager. And that's really what it's all about.
That's awesome, Sal. Thanks so much for doing this.
Absolutely.
We could do part two. I could keep going from the 4 hours if you had time. Yeah, but I did want to
believe me. I got tons and tons and tons and tons. I just I love talking to you guys. I really do appreciate you having me on. And you know, look, I'd love to help the community out as much as I possibly can. I mean, if I can share a little bit of information with everyone, things that have helped me. I mean, I will, believe me, I have a laundry list of things that I can share that, you know, will really take 3 or 4 episodes of this podcast to kind of go through and, you know, different strategies and different methods and what to look for and what to not to look for and so on and so forth. I mean, yeah, I definitely love to do it. I mean, you know, we can probably do something maybe later on, for some of the, you know, for some of the community members. But I love to do talking like a to you session. Guys, man. It's awesome. You know, you're a godsend, both of you. You know, you have really, I mean, look, you've really turned my life around. Honestly, I mean, look, like I mentioned earlier, at 40 years old, you know, what the hell are you going to do, right? You know, something bad happens, right? Career change, you get fired from your job and that you just put in 20 years into, right? I mean, what are you going to do now? And I mean, look, you guys have, you know, you've been a lifesaver. I mean, I've learned a lot. I continually learn from you every single day. You know, I sign in, even if I'm not trading, I'll be on the road and I'm listening to the Elite Group. I'm listening to your, you know, morning market updates and your analysis and, you know, and everything that you do. I mean, the Sundays and everything. And every time I listen, I'm learning something new. You know, I'll learn something I didn't know last time. But yeah, so guys, you are awesome, and you know, I love you, and I appreciate it. And look, you know, I have to, you know, I've been successful. I hope that it lasts, right? This is not, you know, a 10-year career. This is a new career that I've started. I am just starting to make some money now, right? In the last few months, this isn't something that's been going on from day one. Unfortunately, you know, I wish it was, but. You know, it took me a long time to learn that, you know, I have to follow certain rules and do certain things before I can, you know, enjoy the fruits of my labor. And fortunately, I am now, and hopefully it lasts. Hopefully I can, you know, maintain my my composure and my sort of my, you know, my mental capital and, to, you know, to keep it going, right? To the patience that's required, you know, the level that you have to put in every single day. You know, getting up and getting in front of this monitor and, you know, and the balls that you have, you know, to throw on a 100 lotter, you know what I mean? Yeah. On a fade. I mean,
yeah.
So, and I'll be, I did it last week, you know, was it Friday? Yeah. Last Friday.
Was that, Mark, after the text of asking
when
if
I sent
the,
you
man,
that,
how much could
when
the market
when I
take?
Told you that the 2.6, profit ratio. It was,
yeah.
You know, that was a $68,000 day, right?
That's amazing, man. In one
that
day?
That Friday. Yeah, that Friday.
Attaboy. That's a good way to wrap up the week, right? Nice day. Heading
you know
into
what?
The
yeah, I just, I don't know why. I woke up Friday morning. I was pumped. I felt great. You know, I don't know. It was like I felt like I was doing meth or something. You know, I was like flying and it was, you know, it was like one of those moments. And I figured, you know what? I don't know. Something's telling me to slap it on today, but. Yeah,
that's amazing. That's what, 1,000 points, more than 1,000 at that point.
Well, I don't know. I didn't do the math because it wouldn't show me the points because it was just filled up with profit numbers. It wouldn't show you the points anymore.
It's a good position to be in.
Yeah. So, yeah,
too many
that was
zeros.
Like the best day ever, you know, best day of my career. But look, it took balls, right? It took patience. And it took a year and a half of, look, you know, eating crap. And getting beat up and getting punched in the face and taking it and coming back for more, you know, just being a glutton for punishment, and eventually it pays off, right? So, you know, just keep it up. That's about it.
Well, that's awesome, bro. Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, you're a size mover. Keep going. You deserve everything. You know, it's been a long journey. I know everyone thinks that, hey, you know, whoever's successful, they got there within, they want to do it within a week, but nobody knows your true journey. And I would argue that your journey into trading success didn't just start when you started trading. It started with the first business that you ran.
Yeah, right? And you know, guys, to be quite honest, I don't call myself a successful trader today either. I'm a novice. Yeah. I'm a student. You know, just because I have a few wins or a few good days doesn't make me a pro, or, you know, doesn't make me a successful trader. Look, I'm on the path of success, right? I have the tools necessary. I'm working on the proper mindset that's required. I still make my mistakes daily. I still take trades I shouldn't take. You know, I still do things that I should not be doing. And I'm consciously aware of, you know, the fact that I shouldn't be doing them, but yet I keep doing them. So I'm not perfect. I'm nowhere near, you know, success yet. But I'm working, you know, towards it. And now, you know, a year and a half later, I finally understand what it really takes. To get there.
Beautiful.
And that's why a lot of people drop out. I mean, that's really the reason, because they just, you know, they have a few bad few months or a few weeks and they're like, oh man, this is not for me. I just can't take it. And they drop out. But, you know, look, don't try to make money. Just learn how to be a successful trader, a successful money manager, right? Is really key for longevity in this business.
You know what, man? I've been doing this forever. And I know traders that do it a lot more successfully than me as well. You know, and like one thing runs true to all of them. They're not the Twitter guys. They're not the Twitter guys posting profits saying like, you know, I got another 10 bagger, 100%. Look how good I am. Every one of them will tell you exactly what Sal just said. I'm still new. Like I'm 20 years in the game and still new. I'm still novice myself. Like I'm learning every day. You know what I mean? It's like I'm not foolish enough to pretend that I know.
Absolutely. I'm not, yeah. I mean, I'm not just slapping on trades and I'm like with confidence, right? I mean, I'm flying by the seat of my pants here.
you always get humbled when you have moments where you feel like, you know, godlike. You're like, I'm making the market move. You're very close to being humbled.
Exactly. And it doesn't matter if you're putting on 100 lot or a single lot. Look, your stress level is going to be just as much, you know, no matter what you're doing. The size doesn't really matter after a while. You know, it's just, I'm humbled every day. You know, look, if I walk away from the computer and I'm green, I'm happy. You know, and that's not everyday occurrence. So I don't think that will be an everyday occurrence. I mean, I think every single one of us has bad days, weeks, months, right? We can go on a bender for a while and, you know, it really messes with your mojo and your ego. I mean, it's happened to me, right? I mean, literally a month ago it happened to me. I had a pretty bad week. You know, I blew some profits and I sat there. I don't know. I was ready to throw my computer off the table and I was going crazy and it was just bonkers. I was like, F this and this and that. I'm done with this trading shit and I'm no more for me. And then guess what? I laid down. I took a nap. I woke up and I opened up TradingView and I'm looking around. What's the S&P doing today? So, I mean.
You will be around forever. Once that happens, Sal, that's
exactly
the sign right there.
You know, exactly. I vented, you know, and then I came back. You know, it's like that, you know, that wife that you have. I mean, you know, you hate her. You want to divorce her. But every day you just, oh, I got to come home to her. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? I got kids. What am I going to do?
There's no running, man. There's no running.
I'm pot committed here already. I mean, I blew out 3 accounts. You know, I bought all these monitors and shit sitting around here. What am I going to do? Throw it in the garbage? I'm pot committed to this business. Like, I got nowhere to go.
That's amazing,
I'm
man.
Paid up on I my subscription that. For a year. Yeah. What am I going to just let it go? No.
But, I agree, man. It takes a lot of resilience to do what we do.
Keep coming back. Listen, it's definitely a certain personality requirement, right? Glutton for punishment. That's like the best phrase that I can come up with.
Another quotable.
Yeah.
I love it.
I like it.
Well, Sal, thanks so much for being on our podcast, man. I really appreciate everything you've said, the time you've committed to us, being part of our community. And most above everything, I appreciate your willingness to share with the community ideas, things that you create, concepts. You're like an open book. And it takes
there's nothing to hide. I mean, look, none of you guys are my competition, right? It's not like you're open. Your business is open across the street from me, and we're fighting for the same client. Look, there's no reason why anyone should hold back on trading ideas or, you know, wherever it may be. I mean, I think that's part of the reason why, you know, you're part of a group, right? Why? What else would you be part of a group if you weren't willing to share or to help, help out, right?
Exactly.
Very true.
You're not my direct competition. Man. I mean, I'm pretty sure I took a couple of points off of you, you know. I'm pretty sure I sold you
something. You might be, you might have been the reason I missed my take profit.
I did stop you out yesterday.
See, there you go. But yet you're still willing to share, and so am I. And that will never change.
Look, George, you can stop me out tomorrow. You know, I'll let you. I'll tell you where I put my limit in.
It's just money changing hands, man.
Exactly.
If the level is good,
I'll
take the
it back
trade,
from you
know?
Next week. It's fine. Yeah. You can hold
That's
on to
good,
this
brother.
For a while.
Awesome.
Make you feel better. I'll pick it up next Tuesday.
let me sit with it a bit. Yeah.
Let you have the weekend with it.
Guys, man, you're amazing. I really, really appreciate this this opportunity. I hope I lived up to, you know, some of your expectations. I'm here. Everybody listening to the show as far as, the community is concerned. I mean, look, more than welcome to send me a PM. If I can help, I'll help, you know, as much as I can. I mean, I'll go out of my way, whatever you guys need. I don't know it all, but what I do know, you know, I'm willing to share. If that helps out anybody, God bless. You know, I wish someone would have done that for me when I was going through my rough times. But yeah, I'm here. Definitely. I'd love to hear from everybody.
Paying it forward.
I appreciate you listening.
Beautiful. Yeah, you know what? I have no doubt this is going to be a top 5 within a week, probably by the time it's posted. It's going
to
be...
Well, listen, I hope so. Like I said, I hope I lived up to, you know, some of your expectations. And, you know, I appreciate it. You know, I'm humbled. You know, I'm honored to even have an invite, to be honest with you. You know, so hopefully I can, you know, do my part and, you know, help out whoever needs help.
We appreciate awesome. It, man. We appreciate it, and we appreciate you. And to the audience here, thank you guys for your time as well. If you guys enjoyed this podcast, and if you guys can think of one person that might find today's message helpful, please share this episode with them. Also, if you guys are enjoying this podcast, we put in a lot of work to bring it to you guys. We would appreciate you guys paying it forward by dropping a rating and review on iTunes. Till next time, everyone, good luck and good trading. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.